The court at this time is calling case number 13-20-140-CV Ricardo Maldonado Davila versus M&M Towing and Recovery, Inc. Mr. Acevedo?
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the court. Good morning, Judge Tijerina, Judge Benavides, Judge Longoria, and Mr. Franz. The style of the cause is 13-20-140-CV Ricardo Mandoval Davila versus an M&M Towing and Recovery on appeal from the County Court of Law Number 4, Hidalgo County, Texas, Trial Court Cause Number CL-19-5371-D. Raul A. Acevedo Jr. appearing on behalf of Ricardo Maldonado Davila. The issue presented by Appellant Davila is as follows. The trial court rendered an improper judgment under Chapter 2308, Subchapter J of the Texas Towing and Booting Act, as the towing made the basis of the appeal are neither a consento nor a non-consento and are not subject to Chapter 2308, Subchapter J of the Texas Towing and Booting Act. There is no factual dispute about the underlying removal of the appellant's four vehicles from the residence located at 8820 East Rogers Road, Edinburgh, Texas, 78541. The parties agree that the property located at 8820 East Rogers Road, Edinburgh, Texas, where the four vehicles were located on October 23, 2018, were once owned by Cristobal Maldonado Sr., and that Mr. Maldonado Sr. died on June 17, 2018. The parties agree that Cristobal Maldonado Jr.'s son, Cristobal Maldonado Jr., son of Cristoforo Maldonado Sr., ordered the removal of the four vehicles from 8820 East Rogers Road, Edinburgh, Texas, 78541 on October 23, 2018. The parties agree that Ricardo Maldonado Davila, appellant, resided at 8820 East Rogers Road, Edinburgh, Texas, 78541. Appellee via its employee, Valentin Cerda, removed the vehicles from 8820 East Rogers Road, Edinburgh, Texas, 78541.
Hey, Ms. Acevedo, I'm going to stop you and start asking, first of all, your whole premise that the statute 2308 doesn't apply is because you're indicating that it is not a consent tow or non-consent tow. So I'd like to start first with your issue under 2308-002, the definition of consento listed by the statute. I'm going to read it very quickly. Means any tow of a motor vehicle in which the tow truck is summoned by the owner or operator of the vehicle or by a person who has possession, custody, or control of the vehicle. The term does not include an incident management tow or private property tow. You indicate your analysis that this is not a consent tow, but your stipulated facts is that Mr. Was in control of this home and of this property and as such of these vehicles. So how is this not a consent tow as defined under the statute?
Because he didn't authorize the removal of the vehicles. My client, Ricardo Maldonado Davila, was occupant and resident of 8820 East Rogers Road, Your Honor. So Mr. Davila, this is not a consent tow because he did not authorize the removal of these vehicles.
Okay, but he was living on the premises, is my understanding.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So doesn't that give him, as defined under consent, the person who has possession, custody, or control of the vehicles?
That is correct, Your Honor, but he did not authorize it. So that is
okay. And how is it not a consent tow then under the definition under six means any tow of a motor vehicle that is not a consent tow, including an incident management tow or a private property tow?
An incident management
specifically a private property tow, because it wouldn't be, I think we could all agree it's not an incident management tow, I guess.
The statute specifically gives, Your Honor, and let me bring the statute up. Can you still see me? Because I'm shifting to, can you also see me?
Yes, but I don't see the statute.
Okay. It's page 30, Your Honor, of the appellant's brief. I did provide that in the appendix. It's Texas Occupational Code 2308.002.
We have the code. We have the briefs.
Okay, the incident manager tow means any tow of a vehicle in which the tow is summoned to the scene of a traffic accident or to an incident, including removal of a vehicle, commercial cargo, and commercial debris from an accident or incident scene. This obviously is not an incident management tow, Your Honor, since this is these vehicles were located at a private residence.
So why isn't it a private? I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong brief. Go ahead.
Yes, so that's why our contention, that was my client's contention, that this is not an incident management tow as defined and as I just read to you all, Your Honor.
Why isn't it a private property tow though? I mean, I understand where you're getting your incident report.
Yes, and private property tow means any tow of a vehicle authorized by a parking facility owner without the consent of the owner or operator of the vehicle. So the way private property tow is defined by the statute, it's not applicable to the situation, Your Honor.
Well, wasn't it towed by the property owner of this vehicle without the consent of the owner, which was your client? So wouldn't that make it a private property tow?
No, Your Honor, not private property tow is specifically defined in the statute and it does not fit the facts here, Your Honor.
I'm trying to bring it up.
And that is a private property tow is on page 31 of my brief, Your Honor. It's page 205 of the Texas Occupational Code 2308.002 that my client provided you all in the appendix. And on 23.008-8-B, private property tow means any tow of a vehicle authorized by a parking facility owner without the consent of the owner or operator of the vehicle. So parking facility owner is also defined. Parking facilities also defined owner is also defined in the statute above, Your Honor, which parking facility owner means an individual, corporation, partnership, limited liability company, association, trust, or other legal entity owning or operating a parking facility. A property owner's association, B is a property owner's association having control under a dedicatory instrument as the term is defined in section 22.001 of the property code. And or C, a property owner having an exclusive right under a declaratory instrument as a term is defined in section 202.001 of the property code.
Hey, Mr. Acevedo, let me ask you something just so it's clear in my head. You say that your client was living at the property at the time?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did he own the property?
No, he's not the owner of the property, Your Honor. He had resided in the property for over 15 years with his grandfather, and I think his grandfather passed away 3 months prior to this incident, Your Honor.
And then it was the owner of the property that removed the vehicles, correct?
Well, Your Honor, that is Mr. His son has a property ownership in the property. We do admit that. There is a probate application that was provided by M&M Towing.
And the one who asked that it be removed did have an ownership interest in the property.
That is still up to the probate court to resolve, Your Honor. But that is before the probate court of Hidalgo County, Texas. And I do not know if there's a resolution. The last time I checked, there was no resolution as far as the ownership of the property.
Okay. Is it a contested property at the probate level, or are you just saying that it hasn't been declared his asset yet?
I am stating that I am not aware if that has been declared his asset, Your Honor, but the application is, and if we can, if you can indulge me, if we can go to the application, that's page 298 of the clerk's record. And I just wanted to point out, and I pointed that out this in Mr. Davila's brief on footnote one, Mr. Ricardo Manuel Davila, appellant, is the grandson of Cristoforo Maldonado Sr., deceased. Cristoforo Maldonado ordered the removal of the vehicles. There is an inconsistency in the trial court's judgment and the clerk's record indicating that P-39-142 in the estate of Cristoforo Maldonado Sr., probate court of Hidalgo County, Texas, an application to determine heirship was not accepted into evidence. I just wanted to point out that inconsistency because the judge, Your Honor, the Honorable Judge Fred Garza did cite this application to determine heirship in his judgment. So I don't know. And I recall I was the trial counsel in this cause, Your Honor. I do not know why this is marked as not entered into evidence, but I do recall, you know, that it was admitted into evidence. And of course the trial court did cite this application. And an interesting point that I wanted to point out, Your Honor, if you see section 5 of that page, the names of residents of all descendants heirs, of course we do see Cristoforo Maldonado Jr., the individual who authorized the removal of the vehicles. And then later on that page, you do see Aledia Davila. That is the mother of Ricardo Maldonado Davila. That is on sections, that is on the next page. So
what are you talking about? I'm sorry, Ms. Azevedo. I see the request for the towing. What document are you looking at now?
We're looking, I was talking about the application to determine heirship, which is on page.
Oh, the time, I'm sorry.
And I just wanted to point out that there's an inconsistency with the clerk stating that it wasn't admitted into evidence, which it was, and it is actually cited by the judge in his judgment. So there was an inconsistency there. And I also do want to point out that Ricardo Maldonado Davila, my client, his mother is included in that probate. And her name is there, Aledia M. Davila. And that's on page 299 of the clerk's record. So she herself has a property interest in the property that is the reason why we are here for today, Your Honor. So Your Honor, and my client did also provide the trial court with a sheriff's incident report, providing, you know, and if I could find that really quick, I thought I had bookmarked it.
So Mr. Acevedo, if the argument is being made by M&M Towing that you waived, their main argument is that you have waived any objection to the towing because you did not request a hearing in a timely fashion, so that you're not entitled to receive this because of a waiver issue. Okay. Where are we on the waiver issue on your client?
On the waiver issue, Your Honor, my client invoked this to show that there was not, that there is no tolling authorized under statute. So this, he wanted a quick, basically, resolution to this because he's indigent, Your Honor. He has no, he has no money to go to trial. He's not at fault. His uncle performed this act. So he wanted to go to JP court to have a quick resolution and just to, for the court to plainly see that this is not a tow authorized by statute. I know that there was a 14 day lag since the clerk's record is not provided. I cannot speak to that, and that's not before the court, but I don't think that that 14 day requirement should be dispositive because of the inapplicability of the statute. And we did, Your Honor, provide, you know, if we go back to the incident report, which is on page 288 of the 280, begins on 288 of the clerk's record. We do see, and it was before Judge Garza, he understands that this was basically two persons that have an ownership interest in their deceased father's home, and one of them is allowing for her son to stay there, and the uncle is objecting to it. It's just pretty clear, Your Honor, that this is not a toll authorized by statute. My client just wanted to show M&M, hey, this is not a proper towing. This is not an incident management tow, a private tow, whatever way it is defined in the statute, it is not applicable here. So what we're having is someone authorizing the removal of vehicles it's just a family dispute, Your Honor. And basically, at the end of the day, it's almost like conversion. We're having an individual doing a malicious deed, and I will admit, M&M Towing might not have known at that time all the facts, but he does, Your Honor. At the time, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but at the time the police comes, and if you read the incident report, the respondent's employee, Mr. Valentin Serra, he acknowledged, if you see the report, that he was sent on an errant mission, and yet he still wants to hold those vehicles and make my client pay. And I know my time is out, Your Honor, but one last thing.
Yes.
This is just this should have been like an eviction proceeding. If Cristoforo Maldonado Jr. wanted to remove his nephew from it, he should have gone to the JP court, made an eviction, and that would have been it, right? That at least there would have been a resolution that way. That's the proper way to have done things, instead of calling a tow truck and then proceeding to remove his vehicles.
All right. We'll save your 5 minutes for rebuttal, Mr. Franz. As soon as the clock is ready, you're ready to go.
May it please the court. At the outset, we ask the court to maintain the integrity of Texas Occupations Code Section 2308.456, which requires a person seeking a tow hearing to deliver a written request to the justice court within 14 days of the vehicle's removal. Appellant did not comply with this request and instead waited over 7 months, which defeats the purpose of this statute, to have a quick resolution before expenses mount. I submitted to the court Exhibit 1, which is a copy of the record at CR 303, which sets out what happened. And very briefly, this exhibit at CR 303 establishes that a tow was summoned by a Chris Maldonado. It was a 56 Chevy, and similar tow requests were made on three other vehicles. Of note to the court in this particular exhibit, there is a writing at the middle of the page, I have requested that this vehicle be removed from my premises, and that is the signature of Chris Maldonado. Interestingly, the appellant did not make Mr. Maldonado party to this litigation. We made him a responsible third party and allowed the court to consider his conduct here. So,
Mr. Franz, if I may stop you, I wholeheartedly agree with there's a 14-day under 456. But before we get to 456 under 2308, the appellant is making the argument that we don't get to go to 2308 at all, that we don't get to apply any of this statute because, as defined, this statute doesn't apply to this tow that occurred on 10/23/18 because it wasn't a consent or a non-consent. So the 14-day hearing is a moot issue, is what they're arguing, because how do you define this tow to occur either under 2308 as either consent or non-consent, as Mr. Acevedo has argued this morning?
I'm about to get to that. I would just say before responding to the court that if we don't maintain the integrity of the statute, we rendered it meaningless. In other words, in this case, the court has before it evidence that they waited 7 months.
I understand that. I agree with you to Mr. Franz, that there's a reason why we have the date, but
let me address here.
Make those comply with the statute as defined by the statute.
I think, Your Honor, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you read the definition of consent toe, and this situation falls squarely within the definition of consent toe. 2308.002 subsection 3 says a consent toe is a toe of a motor vehicle in which the tow truck is summoned by the owner or operator of the vehicle or by a person who has possession, custody, or control of the vehicle. Mr. Maldonado said, remove the vehicles from my premises. You have before you evidence that the appellant has admitted that Cristoforo Maldonado Jr. is the son of the decedent, the prior owner of the property. We stated in our brief or cited Estate Code 101, I believe 151, which makes clear the law in Texas is that if a person dies intestate, ownership in the property vests immediately in the heirs. There is no dispute that Cristoforo Maldonado Jr., the person who summoned the tow truck, is an heir, and as such, he's a property owner. He called the property,
but he's not the owner and operator of the vehicles. That's right. We're losing the facts.
Okay, but Your Honor, our contention is that he is a person who had possession of those vehicles. They were on his property. He had possession and he had custody. And if you allow me to go through some exhibits here,
I sent
some photographs to the court earlier, exhibits 8, 9, and 10. And these are found, first of all, these are found at exhibit 295 or CR 295, I apologize. That is a copy of Mr. Maldonado's license, which he presented to my client when my client picked up the vehicles. And that address shows 8820 East Rogers Road, the location where the vehicles were stored. The next photograph, which is at CR 296, I send it in as exhibit 9. It has the address, the location, 8820 East Rogers Road, says private driveway, do not enter, violators will be prosecuted. And below that, the name Maldonado is written on the sign, which indicated to my client that the person summoning him for the work clearly had some interest in the property. And finally, Judge, exhibit-
Go ahead, Mr. Franz, go ahead, finish up.
Exhibit 2 at CR 297, another sign at the location says C. Maldonado Drive. And so these are all consistent with the driver's license presented by Mr. Maldonado Jr., asking us to remove these vehicles from his property. Now, the standard, what the appellant needed to show in the trial court is that my client, M&M Towing, violated the statute in some way. He violated Chapter 2308. He failed to secure a finding at the trial court level of any wrongdoing on my client's part. And if you look at his application for tow hearing, which is Exhibit 2, CR 60 and 61, this tells you exactly what the dispute is, and it has nothing to do with my client. When asked to give a brief description to the justice court of why Mr. Davila was requesting this tow hearing, down at the bottom of the page in the description, I'm going to read from this exhibit. Mr. Davila resided at 8820 Rogers, Edinburgh, Texas. Mr. Davila's grandfather passed away and his will is being probated. Mr. Maldonado sought to wrongfully evict Mr. Davila and wrongfully instructed M&M Towing and Recovery Inc. to remove Mr. Davila's vehicles. That may or may not be true, but that it's not an allegation of wrongdoing absent some evidence of complicity or malice on the part of M&M Towing. And we have this argument. Unfortunately, they didn't pay for the transcript, but it was clear to the trial court that my client got summoned to a property by someone who presented a driver's license stating that they lived there. Evidence abounded that the person's name was Maldonado and Maldonado had a property interest and there were signs all over the property. My client did as he was instructed. Once the purported owner of the vehicle shows up, my client says, somebody's got to pay me. And they had the opportunity to pay him that day. They were at the storage facility arguing with my client that day. My client said, you can have your vehicles, just need to pay for my services. They waited 7 months to file this action, Judge. So there is nothing in the record that constitutes an abuse of discretion with regard to my client's conduct.
Mr. Frost, your argument is that under 23.002, that by a person who has possession, custody, or control of the vehicle seems to indicate that as long as the vehicle, I don't think that it's, at least from what we can see so far from the record, that Mr. Maldonado definitely showed that he has possession of the property. Does the mere fact that the vehicle, it's a two-pronged question, so let me finish it. The mere fact that a vehicle is at my home enough to show to the towing truck company that they can remove that vehicle without showing any possession of that vehicle. In other words, somebody's over at my house and they leave my car in my driveway and I want it removed. I can call a towing truck and move that car, even though I don't have to show the towing company that I own the car. The mere fact that it's on my property is sufficient under 02. And is there any case law to that effect?
I'm not aware of any case law, Your Honor, but our position is that if something is in your vehicle and you are in possession of the vehicle, you are in control of the vehicle, you possess what's in it. The same analogy would apply to real property. If somebody leaves something on my ranch land, I have possession of it and I have a right to do what I wish. That's my position on this. I've found no case law to the contrary. So in short,
well, I guess as you pointed out, it's what did Eminem do wrong? And did they violate the statute? And so the question that I have is that, is there any duty upon a towing company under this statute to make sure that these vehicles that are being towed need to show possession of the, title or possession, as you indicated? The mere fact that he shows, I own this piece of property and this car is here and I don't want this car here anymore, is enough under, as defined.
The duty on M&M is as soon as they put it in storage, they issue registered letters and they have to give two notices, which they did. They go onto the DPS database, they locate registered owners and they give them prompt notice. And that's required by statute and that was complied with. And this affords property owners to come and argue about whether the tow was authorized. But all that has to be done within 14 days to save the costs from skyrocketing, Judge. So the duty we had and that my client had was to notify, send out registered letters. Those are part of the record. In fact, three of the vehicles, I believe, aren't owned on record by Mr. Davila. I think a motorcycle was owned by an ex-girlfriend. There's nothing in the record. That's another sidelight. Your question, there was no duty for us. Somebody calls us to their property to remove something, we're going to do that absent some evidence of, malice or conspiracy. And there is none here. Judge, we also have a cross appeal. Very briefly, I want to touch on that. The statute in question, if the court determines that this was a consent tow and that the court appropriately applied Chapter 2308, that allows the court to award attorney's fees to the prevailing party. The judgment makes clear that M&M Towing is the prevailing party. And I think that's on CR 280 to 284 is a copy of the judgment. And on the last page, the trial court made a reference that M&M is a prevailing party. We presented evidence of, first of all, just by filing a 2308 action under code section 23.08 no, I'm sorry, 2308.404. If Mr. Davila had prevailed against M&M Towing, M&M would have been responsible for paying the towing charges and the storing charges, which by the time this matter was adjudicated, amounted to tens of thousands of dollars for four vehicles. This is significant liability that M&M Towing was exposed to. The damages that M&M would have been required to pay were costs.
Mr. Franz, can I just stop you really quick? Yes. Would those storage fees, though, be obligated to pay by not only the whoever wants to get the car out or who actually called the tow? Like, is Mr. Maldonado then obligated to pay those storage and towing fees?
Had he been included by the appellant in the initial action, he could have been held responsible for that, Judge. But Mr. Davila chose not to involve his uncle and try and blame the tow truck company alone. So Mr. Davila clearly had the burden of proof on this, and the court had the authority to award attorney's fees to the prevailing party. M&M is a small towing company based in Edinburgh, Texas. It's a family-owned business. Unlike large corporations and insurance companies, litigation costs of defense are not factored into day-to-day operations. Having to hire an attorney to defend four justice court filings of wrongful conduct, an appeal to the county court at law number four, pre-trial matters, a full-blown bench trial, and now an appeal is extremely taxing on a small company like M&M Towing. We believe that the court abused its discretion and committed reversible error by finding in its judgment that M&M Towing was the prevailing party. And on the last page of the judgment, M&M Towing should be compensated for reasonable and necessary attorney's fees. What the judge did in this case is he scratched out the amount of uncontroverted evidence of attorney's fees, 75.3 hours at $300, along with an affidavit that I submitted that is exhibit 39 in the court's record. I think it's found at CR 361 to 371, which has my time records. Judge Garza saw fit to scratch out the amount of attorney's fees that were uncontroverted and write zero. And Judge, under the Ragsdale Texas Supreme Court case back in 1990, which we cited, the case says that when there is clear and direct and uncontroverted evidence of attorney's fees, this evidence should be taken as true as a matter of law. And so based on that, Judge, we ask that the court affirm the court's judgment in all respects, with the exception of awarding $0 in attorney's fees. And because the Ragsdale case says that uncontroverted evidence of attorney's fees should be taken as true as a matter of law, we ask that you render judgment for $22,590 as prayed for and as supported by the uncontroverted evidence, or alternatively, that you affirm the judgment of the trial court and reverse solely on the issue of attorney's fees so that Judge Garza may review this issue and award reasonable and necessary attorney's fees to the prevailing party. Ordinarily, as lawyers, we end a trial, we have a result, and we tell our clients, look, everybody walks away and licks their wounds, but a nearly $23,000 wound is just too much to say to my client, lick your wounds and move on down the road. He's been put through a lot. I'm not going to say this was a frivolous filing, but it borders on it, Judge, because he acted in good faith at all times, and he's been forced to bear the burden of a problem that is now clearly between an uncle and his disgruntled nephew. And we got caught in the middle, and my M&M Towing is requesting affirmative relief on attorney's fees. And with that, I'll give back some time. Thank you.
Does Justice Longoria, Justice Dehaney, any further questions for Mr. Franz?
Nope.
All right.
Question.
Mr. Acevedo, your clock is back at 5.
I just wanted to point out, I think what our argument largely centers on is whether the statute applies here. And it was a very narrow question we placed before this court. Mr. Franz has argued that his client had possession, custody, or control of the vehicle. That's not factually correct.
I'm gonna ask you this question. Is there any case law, Mr. Franz says he wasn't able to find any, that says that if you are possession of a vehicle or any property, tangible property that exists on your land or on your property?
There is no case that applies to these facts, Your Honor, because there's no contemplation of somebody taking someone's vehicles from a private residence. And that's the problem here, Your Honor. My client did have permission to stay at that property, if you hold, by his mother, who is mentioned in the probate court. And there was evidence before Judge Garza, that his mother responded and was there with the policeman. So there was evidence his mother's right to stay.
So if Mr. Maldonado had a vehicle there, Mr. Davila could have very easily called M&M Towing to come get the vehicle. The question we have before the court is, did M&M do anything wrong getting this of pulling a vehicle when they had evidence in front of, I mean, that's what the judgment says. The judgment says that M&M and the evidence before the court. And
Your Honor, I want to point to you back to the police report, which is page 290. And it says there that Mr. Valentin Cerda, it's page 3 of 7, it's page 290. It says, he made contact with Valentin Cerda, the police officer who stated he's the owner of M&M Towing of address of 1406 McCall Road, Edinburgh, Texas. He was contacted by a male named Christopher Maldonado to remove the tow vehicles off his property. He was contacted at 9:30 a.m. by Cristoforo. He went to the address listed above and removed a motorcycle and 3 vehicles. The vehicles are going to be stored in his tow yard. He's going to have Cristoforo pay for the work he contracted for. So he had an acknowledgement that he knew what he was getting into. He knew he was coming to a private residence where his sister had allowed, his father had allowed him to live for 15, 20 years. And then he had continued possession and control of the property. Just because you have an ownership interest or a title, this is going back to property law, doesn't mean that you have possession, custody, or control of real estate or personal property. That's why the property and I cited this, and I briefed Judge Garza on this. This is like almost a self-help eviction. You know, he should have tried to evict them, and Mr. Cerda was aware that he participated in a wrongful removal of vehicles. So if I may, Your Honor, the question, yeah, possession, custody, or control of real property and personal property, just because you have title ownership doesn't mean you have possession, custody. That means if the court is to rule that someone who has titled interest on a property can call a tow truck on any leaseholder and remove them, well, does the title owner or the leaseholder have possession, custody, or control of those vehicles? No. Then the court would be then consenting to self-help eviction procedures that I think that the law does not support.
I understand the point.
Yes.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor, that is all I have.
All right, any further questions from my fellow justices?
Not at this time.
If not, this case will stand under submission. Thank you for participating with oral argument this morning. It was wonderful seeing you both, even if it's only by Zoom, Mr. Acevedo, Mr. Franz.